Begin the Karam Daf Masech the Shabbos Daf Kof Chof. We begin 13 lines up from the top of the Amud, where we begin the new Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing a fire. In case of a fire, what is the situation? A person, what can he do on Shabbos? So our Mishnah begins. Metzilin Sal Molik Kikuras. What a person can do, he could save a basket full of loaves of bread. Doesn't make a difference how many loaves are in there, as long as it's one basket. Alpha Bishishba Meyesu, this even if there's 100 meals worth in that basket. Similarly, the same thing applies. The eagle shall dvela, that there's a round cake of pressed figs, which in those days, that was a product I used to make. Again, that although it's very large and there's enough for many different meals in there, but since it's one eagle shall dvela, it's one of these cakes, you're allowed to take that on Shabbos to save that. Similarly, v'chav shal yain, you can take out a barrel of wine. V'oim alachem, you can even tell other people, bo'yu v'tzivu lachem, come and save for yourselves. In other words, I can only take out a certain amount, but come and take out, so therefore we can salvage what's inside, and you could take for what you need. V'mho'yu pikchen, and if these people that were coming to save are smart, then they could come and ask for their payment, like workers, and oisinim oichesh b'nachar Shabbos, and then they could make a calculation with them after Shabbos. In other words, we worked for you on Shabbos, we spent an hour going in and taking out meals for ourselves, and we're giving it back to you, so you should pay us for the work that we did. That's a pikchas, that's if they're smart, they could realize that they can go ahead and ask him to get paid for the work they did from on Shabbos. Now the question is, laheichin metzil noisin, now where that they're taking this out from the burning building, where are they taking it to? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, L'chotza hamurabis, to a courtyard that's joined together with an eruv. For that, there's no isra of itzah, that is no problem. You could take it from the house into that area. But misero im aflesha in murabis. He says, no, this dispensation that we made in case of the fire that you're allowed to take out the meals that are necessary for Shabbos or all these different items is even to a chotza or courtyard that doesn't have an eruv. That, although that's usr, that's only an isra bon. And for that, we allowed it in the case of the fire. And then you take out all your utensils that you need, all the different things, for example, cups and ladles, whatever you're going to need for the day of Shabbos, you're allowed to save from the fire and bring it out to the courtyard. And similarly, you can dress and wear whatever you could put on, and you wrap yourself with anything that you could put on over yourself, and that you could continuously do to wear on the Shabbos, because again, anything that you can, that's not considered a tircha, a special extreme situation, but you could take whatever you need to eat for Shabbos, or anything that you could wear on Shabbos. However, on this, the Mishnah brings that Rabbi Yisi, I mean Yotches Keim, that Rabbi Yisi argues and he says that you could only wear 18 different types of garments. And as the Gemara explains that, that's exactly what they used to wear during the weekday, but more than what was normally worn, you're not allowed to. And therefore, you can't go ahead and go and carry and wear stuff, go outside, undress, then go back in and wear more stuff and go back out. Whereas in contrast to the end of the Mishnah, which goes back to the opinion of the Tanakama holds no, you could take out as many clothing as you want on the Shabbos. You have to wear it out, but once you go, then you go back and you put on, you bring it out, and then you continuously can do that the whole Shabbos. According to the Tanakama, you can take it as much as you want, it just has to be worn. Rabbi Yisi says no, you can only wear out what's normally worn, and he says it's 18 garments, as the Gemara is going to explain, that there's 18 different things that are normally worn on the person, and that's the extent to what you can wear, but more than that, not. And the Mishnah concludes, and he could also tell other people, come and save with me. In other words, I could only wear out a certain amount of garments. I have a whole closet full of stuff. Everyone come and put on stuff and come out. That is the mahalach, how we can save stuff. We can't carry it out. We can only take out the food that's necessary, the clothing that's necessary. But since we're allowed to, we can do it in this type of fashion to wear it out. No, you know what? I'm going to get more stuff and continuously wear it out and help as many people as can help on Shabbos. Now the Gemara has a contradiction. The Reisha of our Mishnah, which was the first half on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, where the Mishnah said that to save food on Shabbos, you could only save up to 3 meals. Yet here in our Mishnah, we say up to 100 meals. That's a contradiction. Is it 3 meals for the Shalosh Sudas, or is it even 100 meals like it says in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Loi Kasha. It depends. Kan bebola hatzel, kan bebola kafa. One of them is talking about when you're coming to save. One of them is talking about when you're coming to fold and put it all together. And that is, in our Mishnah, we're talking about that you're saving on one basket. As our Mishnah said, Sal Molik Ikaras, when you have a basket full of loaves and bread. And therefore, you're not being matriach to save from the fire more than one time. And therefore, whatever's in the basket, you could save since it's one time. So who cares if it's a lot in the basket or a little in the basket? It's just that one tircha. And therefore, even if there's 100 meals, that's bebola hatzel. You're coming to save. You're taking out one basket. It doesn't make a difference how much is in there. However, when we said that you could only have shalish, so there's 3 meals, that's talking about when there's a lot of baskets, one with the other. And you're going through the tircha, the difficulty of gathering it all together and to take it out. Then we only let you up to 3 meals worth that you could save when it's many different baskets. but not more than that, because each one is a separate tircha, a separate effort in itself, and we don't let you. This whole concern is we can't do tirchas more than what's necessary on Shabbos. So therefore, again, as the Gemara explains, Balahatzel, when you're coming to save, in other words, when it's one basket, Matzlis Kun, you can take it all out. It's all coming together, as all the cases of our Mishnah that spoke about the Igol Shel Develo or the Chavish Shel Yain. It's one item. So therefore, whatever is inside could come along with it. It doesn't make a difference. It's the same Maisa Tircha. So therefore, Matzlis Kulun. Balakapal, when you're coming to fold it together, in other words, you're taking many baskets, then Einam Akapal Elam Mazen Gimel Sudas. We don't want you to be Matriach more than you have to. But three meals we let you because that's what's necessary for Shabbos. So then even if it's more than one basket, we let you up till three meals, but not more than that. And that resolves the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. That's one approach. Another approach the Gemara brings, Rab Abba Bar Zavda Amarav, Now, both Mishnayos are talking about when you're coming to fold it, in other words, and you're doing many different baskets. However, our Mishnah that said that even 100 meals is when you're taking it to that yard, which is right there next to the house. However, the Mishnah on Kaf Yud Zayin that said you can only have up to 3 meals, I was talking about to a far courtyard. That's an extra tircha, that's a real effort that you're going through. That's why for that we only let up to 3 meals. So although they're all talking about different baskets, however, our Mishnah that's talking about right there, so then we let you even 100 meals. Far away, we only let you up to 3 meals. Now, related to this, the Gemara asked a question, which would be related to this discussion about that there's a difference between lahatzel and lakafel when you're saving in one time or when you're folding up and doing many different baskets to put together. Piris talisai v'kibul v'niach. If someone folds, opens up, spreads out his talis, his cloak, and he folds a basket in, and he puts it there. And then v'kibul v'niach, he folds another one and puts it in there. My, what is the halacha? In other words, he brings food and he puts it down. Then he goes back again and brings food and puts it down. So the question is, kibul lahatzel, I mean, is this case similar and comparable to when he's coming to save, which is the case of lahatzel, where it's only at one time with one vessel? Here also, since it's only one vessel, this one talis that he spread out, and it's going to be one time that he's going to take it out, and therefore he could take them all out at one time. Maybe this will be a problem, because maybe it's comparable to the case of when he's taking many different baskets and putting it together, yet it's sincere he continuously is going back and forth to put it down in his garment and then exit at one time, but it's separate tirchas, it's separate efforts that he's putting into it. Maybe that would be a problem, because it's not just one basket and grabbing. He's going back and putting down the talis, going back, putting down the talis, and then he wants to go exit at one time, but it's separate efforts. And that the Gemara says, Mida'amar Rava Ate Rav Shizvi L'Rav Chizda, that from the fact that Rava said that Rav Shizbi made Rav Chizda make a mistake, and that is it's a reference to that Rav Shizbi, he lectured in front of Rav Chizda, and Rav Chizda agreed to his halacha. And this was in reference to a mission that we mentioned Daf Kuf Yud Zayin that said that if a barrel breaks on the top of a roof, so and the contents are spilling out, so he said you're allowed to bring a vessel underneath and let it drip in over there. So Rav Shizbi lectured in front of Rav Chizda, and he said as follows, V'darish. He said, although we allowed you on Shabbos to go ahead and salvage the remains of the barrel of wine and put it on the floor, and therefore what's dripping down from the roof is going to drip in there, but it can't be a vessel that will contain more than 3 sudas worth. And that is, as we said regarding saving the meals for Shabbos, we said only up to 3 sudas worth, but not more than that. And Rav Chizda agreed, he says, yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. Yeah, the vessel can't be bigger than that. But from the fact that Rav said that he was mistaken, that he made Rav Chizda make a mistake, because it's not true, obviously it was a mistake, and that even if the barrel will contain more than 3 sudas, it'll be permitted. And what's the reason? Because it's one vessel, it's one container. And that is exactly like the case that we're talking about, that when you're folding and putting in the one vessel, you go back and bring more and bring back and bring more, that here it's the same case as the barrel of wine that was dripping down slowly, piece by piece, dripping in. So we see that because it's one vessel, it's comparable to the case of Bola Hatzeldam, and that when you're taking it at one time, it's going to be mutter because it's ultimately one vessel. So therefore here also, that although he's going back and forth, it's not like Bola Kapel, rather it's like Bola Hatzel, because we find that this is what Rava held, that although you're not allowed to save more than 3 sudas worth, but since here, although the drips are coming in intervals and it's not at one time, but since it's going into one barrel, you're going to be able to do that even though it's containing more than 3 sudas worth. So Shema Mino, the Gemara says, Kabbalah Hatzel Dami, Ushaper Dami, that obviously it's comparable to the case of, because it's ultimately one vessel and it's going to be at one time that you're going to take it out. So therefore it's mutter, and that resolves our question. But now the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak, L'Rava. My Tu'usa, Rava, you said that it was mistaken, that he made him make the mistake regarding what he lectured. What was the mistake? In other words, how do you know that what he said was mistaken? Maybe it's not true. Maybe you could only have a vessel that could only contain three sudas, but not more. So Malay, he says, no, diktani, because we learned over there. It says, ubavachala yavikli achavikli. As long, although you could put this vessel down here on the bottom to catch what's dripping down, but you can't bring another vessel and catch it in the ear, or kli'achavi yitzarf, or bring another vessel and put it toward the roof to catch what's over there. Now, kli'achahu delay, it's only another vessel that you're not allowed to bring over there, again, either to catch it in mid-ear or to put it by the roof and really catch it over there. But regarding that vessel that we are allowed to put on the bottom, that's as much as you want. In other words, we're only saying that more than one vessel is forbidden. But if it's one vessel, that's obviously going to be permitted, because or else if it was even that one vessel, we should have said over there, we only said you're not bring other ones. Obviously, the fact that that vessel, no matter what it is, there's no qualifications in it, and you could carry even more than three sudas, so obviously he's mistaken, and from that din that he said that he's mistaken, that you could have more than three sudas, is what resolves our question that it will, regarding this, that the person keeps on bringing back and forth into his talus that he spread out, that it's going to be like bola hatzal on there, but it's going to be permitted because it's one vessel and he's going to take it out at one time. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. That said, ve'igul shadavela, that regarding this round cake of the pressed figs. So we said that regarding all these food items, you could also tell the others, come and help me save. And it says that the pikhin, the smart ones, they make a calculation with them after Shabbos and say, look, you know, for an hour on Shabbos, we were going and saving food for quote-unquote ourselves, but we gave it to you because it's your stuff. Now pay us for the work that we did. So the Gemara asks, cheshbon maya vidite, what is this calculations that they're making with him? Mefgeri kazochu, they were able to merit this stuff because it's from Hefker. In other words, this that they said, he told the people, hitzilu lechem, go save for yourselves, right? Which means for your own needs. Now, if they're smart, you're saying, oh, if they're smart, they can go ahead and say, pay us for the work. What do you mean? It should have said, ya'akvu hako, that they could hold on to it, because it's Hefker. He can't save more than three sudas worth. It's gone. Now, I'm telling you, go ahead and save it. Now you're giving it back to me, but you could have held on to it if you're really smart, not just asked me to get paid for the work that you did for me. So Rav Chizr said, you're right, but Midas Chassidus on the account, we're talking about people that have an extra level of piety, of Chassidus, and therefore they return his stuff. They don't want to hold on to his stuff. They realize he has his hands tied, so to speak, because he can only save three meals, but we're saving it for him. So therefore, but we want to get paid, to which the Gemara asks, but Amar Rava, Chassidi Igri de Shabbat de Shakli, what do you mean? You tell me they're pious, and that's why they're not taking his stuff, although it's really Hefker. But they're going to take Schar Shabbos, they're going to get paid for work that they're doing on Shabbos. In other words, if they're really Chassidim, so they should have given up even from their own things regarding anything that has even a trace of an Aveira to it. Now, although this is not true classic Schar Shabbos, which Schar Shabbos is getting paid for work that you're doing on Shabbos. For example, if you're babysitting just for Shabbos, you can't get paid for being an employee just for Shabbos. That's Schar Shabbos. So although here it's not classic Schar Shabbos, although they're working from a Shabbos, because they're not really working from, they didn't make up beforehand that, hey, you're going to go ahead and work an hour for me saving food, I'm going to pay you, because really it's really theirs, the food, because it's Hefker. Now they're just going ahead and giving it back to him. However, they're definitely not called a Chassid, because or else they should have given up totally everything. Not only not getting taking it for themselves, but even not getting paid for that. So how are we saying that these are Hasidim, and that's why they're not taking it? If they're Hasidim, if they're really Lefnim Meshur Sadin type of people, then they shouldn't even want to get paid for the work that they did, spending an hour on Shabbos, saving his food. So the Gemara says, you're right, they're not Hasidim. Ela Amar Rav HaHocha B'Yirei Shemayim Meskin. We're talking about someone that has the fear of heaven. In other words, this one that's saving, he's not a Chassid to give up everything, but he wants to follow the Halacha exactly how it's supposed to be. And therefore, he doesn't want to have hanah, doesn't want to have pleasure from other people's things. In other words, he doesn't want to be zeich in this item from Hefker, because he knows that the person really didn't want to be mafgrid. He just had no choice because he can't save more than that. However, although I don't want to really go against the law because really it's really his and he didn't really want to be mafgrid, but I don't want to work for nothing, spending an hour of my Shabbos. I'm not a chassid, so therefore, I don't want to give up on my time and not get paid for it. And therefore, this is what we meant when we said they're pikhin. V'imhoyu pikhin, if they're smart, that what? The yodi dikahai gavnu lav schar Shabbos, that they know that all we want to do is we want to follow the letter of the law, the halacha. And if they're smart and they realize that that's not called schar Shabbos, because it's not really working for him, because really it's mine. I'm just giving it back to him. But like, so to speak, let's make up that that's like I worked for you. So then, then if they're smart with the halachas of Shabbos, then they'll make a calculation with him after Shabbos. In other words, like this. When it says in the Mishnah, imha yupichin, if they're smart, again, it's not like we initially thought that meant if they're smart in the law, that is to take as much as they can get out of it, because then they should have said, ya'akvakol, they should hold on to it. Then you gain the most. Rather, what we're talking about is they're really yirei shamayim, they're fear of heaven. And we're talking about that if they're smart in the halachas of Shabbos, that they realize such a case is not tzchar Shabbos, again, because you didn't make up, you're going to work for me, I'm going to pay you for an hour's work. And that is, they didn't know that this is going to be something they're going to get paid for. So then they can make a calculation because it's not real employee. It's not real tzchar Shabbos, and therefore you can get paid for the hour of saving the food. That's what it means that they're pikchin in such a way of the halachas of Shabbos. But of course, if you really, you're not a yirei shamayim, then you could even just hold on to the stuff because really it's hefker. Now we continue discussing the Mishnah, which said, "Ulehechen matzien." So where do you save it to? It said either to a courtyard that has an Erev, or even a courtyard, some say, that doesn't have an Erev. And then it says that then he could wear as many clothing as he can get on. And then he tells others that hatzilu imi, that save with me also the clothing that I have. I can't wear out more than I could. I'm not allowed to carry it, because that would be a desecration of Shabbos. But go ahead, let 10 people go in and dress and come out, and we'll be able to save my clothing that way. Now the Gemara asks, "Maishna hocha." Why is it over here when it talks about food items? Diktani lechem, when he tells other people, come and save, I can't take more than whatever, the one basket of 100 meals, but come and save for yourselves food also. Umash nohocha diktani imi, but why when it talks about clothing, does he say, come in and save with me? Why by food it says for you, and then maybe they'll give it back to him? But why by clothing does it say with me, not for you? So Amide said, gabi mezoinis ketani lechem, buy food, he has to tell them, save for you. Because for him, it's not fit more than 3 meals worth. In other words, he can't save more than that amount. If it's not a one basket, he can only take up to what's 3 sudas worth. So therefore, he has to help him save it for you, because you can't save it for me. I can't be doing an act for more than what I need. But by clothing, he says, save with me. Because it is fit for him for the entire day. In other words, as we ended the Mishnah, not like Rabbi Yossi, the Tanna Kamma holds that you can go back and forth the whole entire day. I'm just going to get worn out and the fire is raging over here. So I can really go back and forth and save all my whole wardrobe. But since it's going to be challenging and I want you to help me, so save with me, but not just for you, because I could save it all. It's just I would like to have your help, and that's why it's with me. I'm just going to help, you're going to help me do it, but really it's something that's fit for me. I could do it on my own. So now, relating to explain the Mishnah, the Gemara brings a braisa, Tan Rabban. Leivish, umaitzi, upayishit, you can get dressed with all the clothing, go out, undress it. V'chayzev leivish, umaitzi, upayishit, then you go back and you get dressed, you take it out, you undo it. V'afilikolayim kulay, the entire day can go back and forth if the fire is burning, and that way take out your whole wardrobe. Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Meir. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, as we mentioned on Mishnah, Shmoin Asakim, that's it, 18 articles of clothing. As Rashi explained in the Mishnah, doesn't really mean that amount. It's just that in those days, that was the maximum amount of articles of clothing you wear, but it's according to what was normally worn. That's how much you can go out with. More than that, you can't, because that's not considered wearing it. The Elohim Shmoin Asakim, these are the 18 garments that they used to wear. Makhtoirin, it's a cloak. Unkli is an outer coat, and that's a wide type of a coat, like a top coat. Upunda, and the outer belt, which was a hollow belt which was worn on the outside of his clothing. Kalvas shalpishtan, a tight vest of linen. V'choluk, and a shirt, which that's the garment that's worn on one skin. Vapilius, and a robe, that's a sheet which he covers his whole entire body with. Umafiris, and a kerchief which is used to cover his head. Ushnei safarkin, and 2 leg bands. Vishnei min olam, 2 shoes. Ushnei ampilois, and 2 socks. Ubeis Parget, and 2 leg coverings. Chagursha b'masnam, and a belt on his waist. That's what's worn on his shirt on the inside, not like the belt which is worn on the outside. B'kevesh b'reisha, and the hat on his head. B'sudash b'tzavari, and the scarf on his neck. And that is the scarf when it hangs around his neck, is that the 2 ends are in front of him that he uses to wipe his mouth or his eyes. And those are the 18 garments. Rabbi says, this is what people normally wear. That's what you're allowed to wear outside and save. Nothing more than that. You can't do like the Tanna Kamma and go back and forth and continuously wear things out. Now the next Mishnah continues with the theme about a fire. But now this Mishnah focuses on how to contain the fire. What do you do? Obviously, we spoke about up until now saving stuff in the fire, but you don't want it to get worse. What can you do? So the Mishnah begins. Person or shel gadi, you could spread out a hide of a kid goat that's moist, al gabi sheder tiva migdol she'ochas ben nesor, on top of a carriage or a box or a closet that a fire has taken hold on. And the reason is mneishu machrich, because it singes. That is, it gets singed, the hide gets singed from the fire, but it doesn't get burnt. But however, through that process, it protects the box from getting totally burnt. So therefore, since you're not doing anything wrong, you can contain the fire. Also, va'isin mechitza b'chalakim, you can make a wall with all your vessels. In other words, the fire is burning, it's going to get to the other side of the house. What do? You line up all your vessels, and that's going to make like a barricade. Bein melein, bein rikon, whether it's full with liquid or whether it's empty, b'shvil shalei tarat leker, that the fire shouldn't get past. It'll be a blockage. However, Rabbi Yossi forbids it if it's talking about an earthenware vessel that's new and filled with water. And the reason is, because since it's a new vessel, it won't be able to withstand the fire that's coming at it. Now it's going to burst because it's new. And now that it's filled with water, it's going to go ahead and extinguish the fire. Since you're causing the Isser Malach of Kibbo, of extinguishing the fire, that's Asr, because you're creating this Gram Kibbo that it's going to cause fire to be extinguished, and that's Asr on Shabbos. So now the Gemara explains, Amar Yehuda Mirav, Talish Sha'achiz Baha'ur Mitzad Echad. If a person has a cloak that has a fire that caught onto it on one side of the cloak, He could put water on the other side. Now, if it goes out, because once it gets to the other side and it's water, it's going to go out, that's okay because I didn't do anything. The Gemara has Meisvei, but we learned the Braisa. Same type of case. We have a talis, a cloak, that caught on fire on one side. So I said, what do? You unfold it and you put it on. You put on the talis. And by putting it on, if it goes out, it goes out. And similar, or if there's a sefer there, a sefer Torah caught on fire. So a poish to the curb, you open it and you read from it. Vim kava kava, and then by opening it and reading from it, it goes out. But since I'm doing it in the normal manner, it's not a problem that it's going to go out. But the question is, no one allowed an actual action to go ahead and do something actively to put out the fire, like putting water on the other side. So how could he say he could put water if that's something that's almost indirect, but it's causing an actual extinguishing? Here, when I'm putting it on, I'm not causing extinguishing. I'm doing something normal in the normal manner of wearing it. So how could he say you're allowed to put on water when here it says only that you can do something in the normal manner of wearing it? Now we continue on to Amud Beis, that the Gemara says, you're right, it's not like that time of that Braisa, but here's like a Shem Benanis of our Mishnah, that it says that you could maintain the fire by covering it with the hide of a goat, although it's going to cause the fire to go out, it's going to suffocate it. Here also, I'm allowed to put water on the other side of the talus, and by the fact that it's going to prevent it from getting to that part because it's wet. Another Gemara asks, when did Rav Shimon ben Anan say that it's okay? Because all it's going to do is singe the hide of the goat. But Gram Kiva, but causing something to be extinguished, like in such a case where when it's going to reach the water, it's not just going to not get there, but rather it's going to cause it to be extinguished. Me, Amar, did he ever say such a thing that even causing it to extinguish is okay? In other words, maybe this that it says in the Mishnah that va'isin mechitza b'chalakim, that you can make a wall with all the vessels, it wasn't talking about a new one that's going to break and cause the water to spill all over and do what's called gram kiva and cause it to go out. And that is how, what he's saying is like, maybe Shem Benanis was only talking about in the case of the kid goat, which is not going to extinguish it, it's just going to protect what's under it, the box or the carriage, but to cause the water to actually go out. Who said that he allows that? Now the Gemara says, it's true. No, it's not true. He does agree that Gram Kiba is mutter. But the Gitani Sefer, I'll prove it to you from the Sefer, that the Mishnah ends over. B'yisi says, forbidden if it's an earthenware vessel that's new, that's full of water. And why? He says, because it can't withstand the fire. Behemoth back in the Mechab and Sadleke, as we said. So therefore, it's going to burst and it's going to make the fire be extinguished. Now, Mechlal, the Tanakama Sharif, and the fact that Yasi is saying that he's not like the opinion of a Tanakama. Obviously, the Tanakama, Rav Shimon ben Anan, that he holds that it's permitted, even though it's going to cause, when it bursts, the water to come out and extinguish the flame. So obviously, that's who Rav is going like when he says that you're actually even allowed to put a water on the other side of the talus. In spite of the fact that it's going not just going to protect the talus, but cause the fire to go out, since that's only a grum, it's only indirectly causing it. That's Mutta, as we find Rav Shimon ben Anan, who says the same idea, that although it's going to make the klicheres burst and cause it to go out, that's okay, because that's just grum kibui. It's indirectly causing it to be extinguished. Gemara brings a braisa, turn up button. We learned, ner, regarding a lamp that is lit, shagabe tablets on top of a board. Now, the board becomes muktzah because it's under a fire, which is muktzah. However, minarasa tavla vihinefelis, you could shake the board and the fire falls down, the lamp falls down. Vim kavsa kavsa, it goes out, it's okay, because since we didn't go ahead and extinguish it ourselves, we just pushed it off. If it goes out, it's not a problem. So Amri de Beir Biana, loishonu ele b'shechech, we didn't learn this halacha, that yelada. So we understand the idea, but if it goes out on its own, that's okay. That's similar to like gram kibbeh, as we mentioned before. But there's a different element over here regarding the halacha of mukta. So this that we said, you're allowed to shake the board and have the lamp fall off, it's only if you forgot it, the lamp on the board without, you know, your intention. You didn't mean to leave it there. But if you left it there intentionally from before Shabbos, you put down the leichter, this is where you wanted to put it down. So nasa, then the board becomes basis ladava asa, becomes a base for something that's forbidden, and then it would be forbidden to move the board, to shake it, to have the lamp fall off. And that's what's known in classic halachic literature of muktzah, of basis, that if this was intentionally placed over here before Shabbos, not only is the lamp asr, because it's muktzah machmas isr, because of the prohibition of the fire, but then even what it's on becomes a base for that, that also becomes asr. It's only if it was forgotten, there wasn't intentionally, then it doesn't have the halachic status of a basis. But if it's intentionally left it, then you wouldn't be able to even move the board to have the flame fall off, although it's not a problem of gram kibui, it would be a problem of the halacha of muktzah. Similar to the Gemara, because Tanu, we learned the Braisa. Ner Shachari Hadels, regarding a lamp that's behind the door. Paisech Vinil Kadarka, you could open and close the door as you will. Vim Kavsa Kavsa, and if it goes out, it goes out. As we said before, because what is that? That's Gram Kibui. It's just indirectly going to cause it to go out, and that's not a problem. But the Gemara says, Light La Rav. Rav was very displeased with this. Whoever would paskin that this is Mutter, he didn't like that. The Gemara says, "Amalei Ravina l'Ravachabri the Rava, v'Amri lo." And some say Ravachabri the Rava l'Ravashi. My time alayla Rav. Why was Rav so upset with those who would say that it's permitted to open and close the door if there was a lamp right behind the door? Elamim from the Rav sovel like Rabbi Yehuda. If it's because Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, as we find elsewhere, that Rabbi Yehuda holds davashen miskam, something that's not intended to do is still aser. So here, although I'm not intending to extinguish the flame when I open up the door, but if it's going to open it up and it might make it go out, then even though I didn't intend it to go out, it's still going to be the iser deraisa of kibui, and that's why he was very upset. And Vitana Katani like Reb Shimon, and therefore the one who was saying that it's mutter, he was going like Reb Shimon, who holds that davashin miskaven is mutter. And since I'm not intending to do it, although it might happen, it's not a problem. So then Mishum de Rav Sovel like Reb Yehuda. So because Rav holds like Reb Yehuda, called the Tani Reb Shimon Mele Laila. So now whoever says an opinion like Reb Shimon, so he curses him, he gets upset at him. What do you mean? This is a machlek. Is that he Rav holds like Reb Yehuda, Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon. Now why would he curse those that say like Reb Shimon, that it sins is davish and miskaven, that it's mutter? So Amalei said to him, no, because even in this case, even Reb Shimon would agree that it would be usher to open up the door with the lamp behind it. To Abai and Rav, because Abai and Rav both say that moed Reb Shimon segreish of loyomus. Even Reb Shimon agrees, although davish and miskaven, something that's not intended, is going to be mutter, but if it's inevitable, then it's going to be usher. And here also, it's inevitable that the wind is going to extinguish it when you open up the door. It's going to make the lamp go out. So therefore, that's why he was upset. Because although you're not intending to do it, but it's inevitable that it's going to happen. And it's inevitable, even if Shimon would agree, and that's why he was upset, whoever would pass in that mutter, because it's inevitable that when you open up the door, the wind's going to make it blow out. Similarly, the Gemara brings Amr of Yehuda. Peseach Adam Delis Keneged Madur B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to open up a door that's facing a bonfire, a large fire on Shabbos. And that is, although that the wind that's going to come in when he opens up the door is going to blow towards the fire and it's going to make it burn up even more. Again, it's not like a small little lamp that's behind the door that's going to make it go out. Here, to the contrary, it's going to make it get even more because the wind's going to add to the fire that's there. So he says it's not a problem. And that is because, as we mentioned before, what's it going to do? It's a davashein miskaven. But Laila La Abaya. Abaya was very upset with this pesach. And as the Gemara explains, but Ma'iskin, what are we talking about? Ilim Biruch Mitzvah, you ever talk about a regular wind that happens when you open up the door? So my time of demand also, what would be the understanding of anyone that would say that it's usr? It's not the way of a regular wind that comes when you open up the door to make it burn up more. And therefore it's not a psik ratio of a loyam, it's not inevitable that it's going to make it burn up more, which would be a problem of havara, of creating a fire. So therefore, what would be the problem? And Ibaruch Sha'in Mitzvah, we're talking about that it's, if you would open up this door, it would create a really large wind, which would definitely make it burn up. So then my time of demand the shirt, what's the understanding of the one that would hold that it's mutter, if obviously that's a problem of avar that you're causing directly by opening up the door? Now the Gemara says, "L'olam baruch mitzur." We're talking about a regular wind. So then, what? So what was the machlokes? Marso begezrin, Abaye held that we're still geyser, we're concerned, although it's a regular wind, which is not inevitable. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, the way we paskin, that dov shein meskamen, if it's not intended, it's mutter. And therefore, although it's going to happen, it's not a problem, because it's not inevitable. However, he says that we're concerned of a case that it might happen when it would be an inevitable situation in a large wind. Marso begezrin, but Reb Yudel, no, we're not concerned, we're not going to make a gzeira that since it's a regular wind and you might do it in a situation to open up the door when it's really windy outside and it's going to create a large wind. That was why Abaye was upset, but Rabbi Yehuda wasn't concerned about that because since in this situation it's a regular wind and it's not inevitable, it's okay to open up the door facing the Madura, facing this large fire. So now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah that said, Isin Mechitza, we said that you could make a whole barricade of vessels, but Rabbi Yehuda said it's forbidden if it's a klicheris that's new, and it's filled with water, it's going to cause the water to come out onto, and it's going to burst, and it's going to extinguish it, and that's a problem. So the Gemara says, Lamemra, does this mean to say the Rabbanan Savri Gram Kibim Mutter, that obviously the Rabbanan, that they say, no, even they didn't say that there's any case of Keli that would be forbidden, even if it's a new Klicheris that's full of water. Obviously, they hold that Gram Kibur, if it causes extinguishment in an indirect way, then it would be permitted, and that's why even if it's going to burst, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yisi sub a Gram Kibur also. However, Rabbi Yisi obviously holds that causing, although indirectly, that it should be extinguished is prohibited, and that's why if it's a Klicheris that won't be able to withstand that it's new, the fire that's coming at it, and it's full with water, and it's going to make it extinguished, it's a problem. So that's obviously what they're arguing about. But we learn exactly the opposite. The Tanya has learned the Braisa. We learned Aisin Mechitza Bekelim Rikon. You can make a wall with empty vessels to stop the fire from getting past. And not only by with empty vessels, Ubimalayim and full ones, Shein Darkan Lishtabra, that their derech, that they wouldn't break. Because if they would break, obviously we'd have the problem of the Gram Kibur of it coming out and extinguishing. The Eilu Malayim Shein Darkan Lishtabra, what are the vessels that it's not their norm to break even with hot heat of the fire coming at it? That's Klimatkas, that's metal vessels. Rabbi Yisrael says not only metal is okay in the case of fire coming at it, even though it's filled with liquid, but af kli kfar shichin v'kli kfar chananya in darkan l'shtaba. Even the vessels of kfar shichin and the vessels of kfar chananya, they also, it's not so normal for them to break. And that is because those pottery, they were made from a very strong earth, and therefore they don't break. Now, so obviously we see from that braisa that Rabbi Yisrael regarding gram kibur, which would be the indirect causing of the water to extinguish it, they're even more lenient than the Rabbanan, right? Because there, the Rabbanan say that Gram Kibui, it seems like they're saying, is Aser, because it's only a vessel that won't break, they say it's permitted. Yet, over here it says that the Rabbanan hold that it's Mutter. So that's one contradiction. That's the opposite of their opinion. And Rabbi Yisrael is also the opposite, because here he says that Gram Kibui is Aser. And that's why you can't use a new earthenware pottery vessel that has water inside of it. Yet over there, he's more lenient even than the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan said you could only have a metal one that's filled with water, because that's really going to hold out. But he says, no, even certain types of pottery you could have. So obviously, he's less concerned with Gram Kibui than the Rabbanan. So here we have the exact opposite opinions of how we have it in our Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, maybe we could resolve it as follows. Maybe what we could say is that really we have to switch around the opinions in our Mishnah. And really, the first part of a Mishnah should say, these are the words of Rabbi Yisi, that all vessels could be used to barricade, because Rabbi Yisi is not concerned with Gram Kibur, as we find by the Braisa over there, that he was even more lenient regarding not only just metal that's filled with liquid, even other certain types of pottery that's filled with liquid. However, it should say the Chacham Oisim Kli Cheres Chadosh, not Rabbi Yisi, but rather the Chacham were the ones that said it's forbidden with a new earthenware vessel that's filled with water, because they are the ones that are concerned with Gram Kibur, as we find over there in that Braisa, that they only let metal, because metal's not going to break and pop open and let the liquid spill out and extinguish it. But if it was going to extinguish, it wouldn't be a problem. And Rabbi Yisi de Braisa, and regarding Rabbi Yisi and the Braisa, that it's mashma over there, that it's only those Kli Cheres that are going to break, that he would agree that it's Aser. And it's only that he permits Kfar Shichin from Kfar Chananya, because they're strong and they're not going to break, but it sounds like that he would say it's forbidden Gram Kibur. So how can we say he's the Tan of our Mishnah of the first part that says that all types of vessels are okay, even if they're going to break, that he's not concerned with Gram Kibur? Is because Ledevreim Kama. There in the Brayse, we're saying according to the Rabbanu. In other words, according to me, as we're trying to resolve that he's the first part of our Mishnah, all vessels are permitted. Because Gram Kibbe indirectly causing the fire to be extinguished is okay, it's mutter. But according to you, that although you say that Gram Kibbe is Aser, but agree to me at least that these, even Gram, there is no such thing because they will withstand the fire and they won't break and they won't pop and have the water go out. So that would be a way of resolving the contradiction. Switch around the opinions in our Mishnah. And although Rabbi Yossi over there sounds like that on some level he does hold that Gram Kibbe is a problem, it was only according to their opinion that you considered Gram Kibbe, but at least agree to me to these other Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hananya that they would be also mutter because they're not going to break and pop open and have the water spill out on them. But the Gemara says it's difficult to say that. Because in Mimitzisa Abchela, can we really say that the opinions in our Mishnah are switched? But we can't. Who is the Tana that says that's causing something to be indirectly extinguished, that it's us that's forbidden? That's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, obviously, it's like we have it in our version of the Mishnah, and that it's not switched around. So therefore, again, so we have this challenge about that, although in our Mishnah, and that's the way Rav is saying explicitly that he's the one that says Gram Kibbe is Aser, and the Chacham are the ones that say it's Mutter. That Braisa seems to be exactly the opposite. That the Rabban are the ones that hold Gram Kibbe is Aser, and Rabbi Yossi is the one that says that it's Mutter, at least to some extent. So that the Gemara says, Ela Oilam Loi Tepech. You're right. So obviously we're not going to switch around the opinions of our Mishnah. However, Ubraisa Kula Rabbi Yossi. Really, there is only one opinion of Braisa, and it's entirely just talking about the statement of Rabbi Yossi. And our words are missing. This is the way you have to learn the braisa. You can make a wall of the empty vessels. And regarding ones that are full with liquid, only those that's not their normative to break open, even with the fire heating them up. Which are the vessels that it's not normal for them to break? Those are metal vessels. And those things are also not the normal to break. Again, this is the same opinion. Not another opinion, but rather because that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that af kli kfar shichin ve kli kfar chananya in dachal shabbat, it's not normal for them to break. However, if it would be the norm to break, then it would be aser because that would be Gram Kibbe, exactly as Rabbi Yossi says in our Mishnah, that Gram Kibbe is forbidden. However, the Gemara says, it's still difficult because v'rami d'rabbanan d'rabbanan we have a different braisa that also has the same contradiction of the opinion of Rabban and our Mishnah between the Rabban and that braisa and the opinion of Rabbi Yossi also. The Tanakh is learned in a different braisa. Harisha Hoya Shem Kosav Lebeserv. Someone had the name of Hashem written on his flesh. Harisha Lo Yirchitz, he's not allowed to wash himself. Velo Yosach, he's not allowed to anoint himself because he's going to be erasing Hashem's name by taking that shower. And also, below Yamid ben Mokamati, if he's not standing in a filthy place, just like he's not allowed to bring a safer into a filthy place. So through now, he can't stand in a filthy place because he has Hashem's name on him. He's like a living safer. And however, if he has to do a mirth in the mikveh because of a certain mitzvah that he has, so what do they do? So he wraps on himself a reed grass. And now the Gemara thinks now, the reason why you're doing that is so that the name should not get erased in the water. Now, obviously, the Rabbanan, as we're going to see in this braisa, are concerned with the fact that it's indirectly going to be causing Hashem's name to be erased, that they hold a gram that of extinguishing or erasing is forbidden, whereas Rabbi Yossi, we're going to find, holds his mutter, which is, again, a contradiction to the opinions of how they're said in our Mishnah. That is, the Chacham say, b'yarid v'tayvel, once you put on the reed, so then you can go out down and immerse. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, no. Lo'olam yarid v'tayvel g'darka, you could go down and immerse yourself. Normally, you don't have to wrap on the reed grass. As long as you don't rub, because if you're rubbing when you're taking it in the mikveh, then you're literally going to be erasing Hashem's name with your own hands. However, indirectly, it's okay. So now, again, that's a contradiction, because the Chacham in our Mishnah said that Gram Kibbe is mutter. We're not concerned, even though it's a newer than where that's going to break and extinguish it. Yet here they say that it's forbidden to indirectly erase Hashem's name, and that's why we have to wrap the gemi over it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says that it's forbidden, and that's why he says you can't use a klicheres that's new with liquid inside of it. Yet here he says that it's mutter, and you don't have to put on the reed grass, even though indirectly it's going to be erasing Hashem's name. So that seems to contradict the opinions in our Mishnah. And that the Gemara says, no. Don't compare the case of Hashem's name being erased. Because Shani Hasam Damakra, because the Pasuk in the Varm says regarding this Issa of erasing Hashem's name, says V'ibadetem es shemam en amakamahu, that you should erase their names, the names of the Avodah Zarah from that place. However, leisasin kein l'Hashem l'keichem. But this you shouldn't do to Hashem your God. That's where the prohibition of erasing Hashem's name comes from. That although you should do it to avodah zarah, to idols, don't do it to Hashem's name. Now, asiyuhu da'asim. It says leisasin that you shouldn't do this. That an action is what's forbidden. However, gramashari indirectly causing it, that's permitted. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is definitely resolved, because although in our Mishnah he says that it's asr, because gram is asr, but there we have explicitly the pasuk saying that only asi is asr. But indirectly causing Hashem's name to be erased is not a problem. But that the Gemara says before they get to resolve the Rabban's opinion, they say, if that's the case, so hachanamik siv here also regarding the malachas of Shabbos, which include the malach of kibbutz of extinguishing, leisasik ha-malach, it says you shouldn't do any labor. That is asihu da asr. It's only an act. Same thing we're learning from the word sasa and loisasun. It's only the act that's forbidden. But gram ashari, but then something indirect should be permitted. Therefore, why does he say in our Mishnah that the gram kibbutz, the indirect extinguishing of the fire when it's a new kli charis with liquid inside of it, it's forbidden if it has the same word of asiyah, which is only actively doing it, not indirectly, the way you're trying to say regarding erasing Hashem's name from his body, that he's allowed to immerse himself in the mikvah. And that the Gemara says, that you're right, although the pasuk does say that it's only directly, because leisasa, but since a person is in turmoil over his money, because he sees his whole house going up in smoke, isharisle, if you permit him to go ahead and have it indirectly cause the fire to go out by putting this new kli charis, he might come and extinguish it because he's going to be trying to do all these ways indirectly having it going out. Then he might actively actually go ahead and do it and put it out. That's why Midrabbanan we said that gram kibbutz is asa. But you're right, asiyah means only direct, not indirectly. That's why regarding leisasin l'kein l'Hashem l'keichem, regarding erasing Hashem's name indirectly is not a problem. So though the same thing should apply to the malachas of Shabbos, including kibbutz, you're right. But Midrabbanan we say since he's going to be in tumult, and he might come to act, if we let him do it indirectly, might do it directly. That's why I say even indirectly, regarding gram of kibbutz, that's also asr. And that's why Rabbi Yitzchak says that's asr. Whereas by the mechika, he allows it indirectly because that's not a direct asiyah. So we resolve the opinions of Rabbi Yitzchak. But then the Gemara gets back to the opinion of the Rabban, which makes it even stronger now, their contradiction. Ihachi, if that's the case, kasha drabban adrabban, we have this contradiction of their opinion. Uma hasam, now if over there by kibbutz, by extinguishing the fire, which you just said now, where a person's in turmoil, and it makes more sense to forbid allowing it indirectly being extinguished. And still, sure, it's still not Mishnah. They argue in your beast, say it's permitted, even if it might break it open and have it indirectly extinguish the fire. So, hach, over here, regarding indirectly erasing Hashem's name, where their person is not in turmoil, it doesn't have the same thing of about seeing his money going up in smoke. Loi kolshken, isn't it obvious that they should allow it to be indirectly erased? Now, why do they say over here that you have to wrap on the reed grass that it shouldn't be erased if it's only indirectly? So therefore, that's for sure a challenge regarding their opinion. To which the Gemara responds, Vitizbra, does it really make sense? In other words, this that the Rabban required to wrap on the reed grass where Hashem's name is, do you really think it is because, as we had initially assumed, that Hashem's name shouldn't get erased? And that's why you're asking this question that, well, what do you mean? So why is it any different than gram kibbutz, where there indirectly you permit it, and here they're saying it's forbidden? Hai gemi hai hechidami. Regarding this reed, how do you understand it? How is it protecting Hashem's name that you're saying the reason why they make you wrap it on is that it shouldn't indirectly cause Hashem's name to be erased? Idem hadik, if it's wrapped on tight to protect it, that it shouldn't, no water should get there and erase it, so then it's an interposition, it gets in the way of the water of the mikveh, and that's not even a good tefillah, so it can't be that it's on so tight, because a person can't tefillah in the mikveh if they have a part of the body that's interposed between the water and the flesh. And Eloi Mahadik, so now obviously it can't be that tight, so if it's not that tight against his flesh, so then Ayla B'mayim, so then water is going to get in there, and it's not going to stop it from erasing the name of Hashem. So what does this mean? What does it mean that they're putting on the regress anyway? How do we even understand this? It obviously is not Toma to protect Hashem's name, because if it's on so tight to protect it, it's going to be a chatzitza, and that's not even a good tefillah. And if it's not that tight, it's going to erase it. And that the Gemara responds, wait a second. What are you asking me? You're telling me that it can't be on so tight to protect it to erasing Hashem's name, because then you're saying it's chatzitza. So the Gemara responds back, wait a minute, chatzitza? Typically, Mishim Diyai. What do you mean? You're saying because the reed grass is going to be interposition, but the ink itself, even without the reed grass, is going to be a chatzitza, because it's in the way. It's not touching your flesh because the ink is there. And that the Gemara says, wait, no, that's not a challenge. Because Balecha, we're talking about moist ink. The Tanya is written, Abraisa, Hadam blood, Vadyoyan ink, Hadvashta honey, Vachalav and milk. Yevashin chaitzin, if they're dry, then that's a chatzitza, that's an interposition. Lachem in chaitzin. If it's moist, it's not a chatzitza, it doesn't stop the liquid of the water, get past the liquid of the ink or all these different items of the blood to get through to the flesh, and therefore that's not a chatzitza, and therefore that's what type of ink we're talking about, that it's moist. So we're not concerned about that. So therefore we're back to the question, mekamakum kasha. But however, we have this challenge, what exactly is the purpose of the gemi, of the reed grass, according to the Rabbanon? Because it's not helping anyway, it's not going to stop it from erasing Hashem's name, because it can't be so tight, because it's chatzitza, and if it's loose, then it's going to erase it anyway. So obviously what the Gemara was getting to is obviously that they're arguing about something else totally, and therefore the question doesn't start, that it's definitely not a contradiction between Gram Kibbeh and Gram Mechika. Elo Omer Rava Bar Rav Shila, Hayna Tamei de Rabbanan, the reason of the Rabbanan was, the Ksavri, because they held, Asur Lamed Bifnei Hashem Arm. You're not allowed to stand in front of Hashem's name when you're naked. And therefore, it's not a contradiction. They're not talking about, the reason why you have to wrap it with the reed grass is because you're naked. You're toveling in the mikveh. You can't have anything on your body. Now, Hashem's name can't be exposed to your erva. So therefore, you have to wrap it around Hashem's name, not to stop it from gram mechika. Just like they say in our Mishnah, indirectly causing is not a problem. That's why you're allowed to have the vessels that's going to break and extinguish it, because it's indirectly, it's a gram. Here also grum is okay, because it's going to erase Hashem's name, because it can't be on so tight, because it's going to be a chatzitza. And the ink is not a problem, because it's moist ink. So then why are we covering it? We're covering it so that it shouldn't see our exposed flesh. And that's the purpose of the gemi, and therefore it's not a contradiction at all. But then the Gemara asks, if that's why the Chacham require to have it, the gemi on, so that the name of Hashem shouldn't see the naked person, so that obviously means that Rabbi Yisi, that does not require him to put on the gemi, that he holds a person could stand naked in front of Hashem's name. But how could that be? It says in the pasuk in Devarim Chav Gimel, Hashem should not see by you any nakedness. Now here he is standing naked with Hashem's name on him. So now the Gemara says, you're right, Rabbi Yisi also has that pasuk, but the Manach Yodei Luyeh is talking about that he has his hand on the Hashem's name, and that's how he immerses until he gets down and gets dressed, and therefore Hashem's name not going to see his nakedness. But then the Gemara asks, Rabbananami, the Manach Yodei Luyeh, and the Rabban also, why do they require him to put on the reed grass? Go ahead, cover it with your hand, it's not going to see the Erev Zdava. And the Gemara says, no, the Rabban require you to put on the reed grass, because Zimna Dimishli B'Sharkli, somebody's going to forget to have his hand on, he's going to take it away, and then the name is going to be exposed to his flesh, and that's why we require you to put on the reed grass, that it's covered all the time. But then the Gemara goes back and says, Rabbi Yossi Nami Zimna Dimishli B'Sharkli. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you should have the same concern that you might forget and take your hand away also, and it's going to be exposed to the person's flesh. And the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. If there is a reed grass available, Rabbi Yisi would agree that you have to wrap on the reed grass. And it's not going to be enough to put your hand on, because you might forget and take it away, and it's going to be exposed. You're going to be on the pasuk of Lo Yerbucha Erves Davar. Hacha b'mayaskin, and hear what they're talking about, that this machlokes, if you need to put on the reed grass or not, was la duria gemi, is that it's not accessible, it's not available, but I have to search for a gemi to make myself available to be able to go and do a tefillah in the mikvah. And that is Rabbanus of the Rabban hold, we continue on top of Kof Chof Aleph Amin Aleph, tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. They hold that tefillah in its proper time is not a mitzvah. You could push it off. No one's asking you to go today. Go in a week. But you have to find the gemi first, because we're concerned that it might come to a situation where you might forget to cover it, and it's going to come to Yerubach Erev's Davar. Umadrina, and that's why you said you go after it. However, Biyasi holds it's imperative to tevil as quick as you can, because during the time when your time is up of tumah, and now it's the time of your tefillah, which is dizman, that is a mitzvah to go ahead and tevel at that time. And therefore, v'loy madrinan, and therefore, you don't go after it. Because like it says in the pasuk, v'hoyu lifnos erev, when it comes time for the evening, yichatz b'mayim, then you should wash in the mikveh. That's the time exactly, right when you're able to, it's a mitzvah to go right then. It's not just a rishus, then you could, but rather that when you should. So therefore, that when I should. So therefore, although, obviously, ketchila, we should have a gemi, so it shouldn't come to such a situation, but we're not going to wait a week till I come across a gemi. We'll have me put on my hand, and we'll make sure that I keep it on. Because although, ideally, we should have a gemi, so it shouldn't come to such a situation, the imperative of the fact that now there's a mitzvah to tevel overrides our concern that we might come to forget it and take it off. But the Chacham say that no, that we, although, because teveling right now is not a mitzvah. It's permission. And therefore, we'll give ourselves the time frame of saying, no, go ahead and find the gemi, because we're concerned you might take it off, because there's no reason to do it now versus a week later. There's no mitzvah, it's just a rishus.